what's funny? You guys give up 44 to Presbyterian exhibition. And I was like, man, I need to see what coaching points they needed from this. Because I was amazed. I thought it was a phenomenal defensive performance. What was your assessment on the defensive end of the way you guys played in the exhibition last Friday?
Yeah, I thought the positives, to give our guys credit, you know, once we built the lead, we didn't get off to a good start, credit Presbyterian. But once we built the lead, we really there was never really one of those runs where coach is going to take a quick timeout. Coach Brunell is going to take a quick timeout and say, hey, I know we're up by what we're up, but you guys, we're not playing as hard. We're not. There was really none of that. So I think you have to give our guys a lot of credit for the job they did there. We built a big lead, and for the pretty much the rest of the game, we maintained that big lead and the effort level. And then, you know, we try to deny or extend the first two catches and pick up full court. And I thought our guys did a really good job of executing that. But there are plenty of defensive deficiencies from the game that we have to get better. That is kind of a combination of it starting out the year and then just inexperience of playing together, inexperience with playing in our defensive system. And, you know, it's good because there's some things from film to point out. But the best message, I think, is look at what we can do when – we're pressuring to the level we're capable of pressuring. I think they had 6 assists and 22 turnovers. So there's a couple things with that. First of all, 22 turnovers allows you to win the extra possession game, which is so important in almost any sport. You know, football, the turnover game, basketball, the turnover and the glass, rebounding, extra possession, so important. But when I think they made like 22 baskets, 23 baskets, and when only 6 of them are assisted, defensively, that's what you want to do. You want to try to make the game a one-on-one game, so to speak, so teams have a hard time scoring out of their offense. So our guys, there's a lot of positives, but believe me, there's plenty, as Coach Brunell has shown the guys the last couple of days, plenty of areas of improvement.
You know, we talked to Coach Bender earlier about a lot of offense and a lot of the bigs, because most of them are new. The one that's the least new, I guess, is RJ, who's been here. But defensively, I think people understand why a transition of 9 guys in would be tough offensively. And defensively, I think a casual fan's like, well, you know, playing hard, you don't need to be cohesive. But the way you guys play, there has to be that chemistry. So how has forming that chemistry gone so far in practice?
Yeah, that's a great question. The only thing I would say to that point is you got to remember offenses have gotten much more intricate over the years. And some of that intricacy is based on it's almost positionless basketball at our level, right? There are 4 guys for sure on the floor at all times that can pass, dribble, and shoot. Almost anybody you play at our level. And so that allows for spacing. The game going to 5 out has really made it harder on defenses. So I think there is some togetherness, there's some cohesiveness. And then, you know, there's a couple things. It's not just when you're younger, it's more about anticipation of what the offense is doing. And as you go up every level, now it becomes about anticipation of what offense is doing, anticipation of what your teammate is doing. Because that's just as important. Like in a pick and roll, the guys that are the not involved in the ball screen, those 3 guys have to do a great job of reading both the defensive big, their teammate in his coverage, the guard, is he bullying the ball well? And then on top of that, anticipate and read what the offensive players are doing. So it's a combination of both, and that takes some adjusting because a lot of guys are just used to worrying about the 5 offensive players, and that's not going to be good enough at our level. So there's a little bit more to it than I think the average fan thinks there is.
Visiting with Associate Head Coach Billy Donlin, Clemson men's basketball here on the program. We've got lots of thoughts and questions about jamming the ball and what that means, picking up full court. Is this a Dylan Ace situation, or are you guys broadening that out and basically just everybody's picking up and let's go play 94 feet?
Yeah, Coach Dixon brought that with him. And so what tagging is, it actually started, it came over here with the coach from Charlotte at Charlotte University. He's an Australian, and he brought it over here, and it caught like wildfire in Europe. And what it is all 5 offensive players run to the high side or to the middle side of the floor but they don't beat their block out. So they run to the high side of their man, on top of their man, and they try to wedge him in, and you're not trying to beat your block out. So you might try to do the old, you know, Pete Carril's team at Princeton. They used to back tip it out, right? You played Princeton and you guard them for 31 seconds because back then it was a 35-second shot clock. Princeton would shoot a three, and their five-man would just back tip it out, and you'd have to guard him again. So we're trying to do that basically with five guys, but really it's to stop your transition, because when you get the rebound, in theory and then hopefully in practice, you're right there on top of your guy. So he can't get a running start. There's no clean outlet passes. There shouldn't be any transition hit-aheads, right? When you're talking offense, you want your outlet guy, your point guard, to hit the ball ahead, up the court, beat the defense down the floor with the pass because it's faster than the dribble. And the tagging, if executed, takes all of that away. And our guys really did a good job in the Presbyterian game. We've got to get better at it for sure. And it's interesting, and I'll just bring this up from 2 years ago. We tagged the Elite Eight year. We tagged through the non-conference. And then I think Coach made the right decision per usual, and we took it off for different reasons. But one of the reasons why I thought we were successful at Alabama was we were tagging back then. And it bothered them. It disrupted them. And then in the tournament, because we had great success not tagging, but in the tournament when we played them, they got more baskets in transition because we were no longer tagging. And I'm not saying we should have tagged them, but it is effective against some high-powered offensive teams. Just to give you an idea of some of the things we have to consider, that Coach has to consider when deciding how we're going to play.
That's awesome stuff from Billy Donlin right there in terms of the X's and O's. And if you're watching, you can see some of that stuff. You can see it in your mind's eye right now as he's describing it to you. Dylan Hunter as a returner and a guy who sort of was a tone setter defensively last year. How has he upped his game in terms of the defensive end, but also maybe just a well-rounded game, the shooting and so forth, and then leadership, because he's probably going to need to do a little bit of that.
Yeah, you know, Dylan is just a winner. I think that's why when you look at his career, you know, his freshman year, his brother Chase got hurt. We had to play, I think, four games without him in the middle of ACC play. We lost the first game at Wake, and then we beat Virginia Tech, I think, at home on that Hunter Tyson sideline out of bounds three to win the game. And Dylan was the starter for three of those four wins, and he's just a winner. And you know, tragically for him and for our team, in terms of sports tragedy, you know, he got hurt in that in the SMU ACC tournament game last year. We don't have him against Louisville and McNeese, and no excuses for the outcome, but certainly having Dylan makes a significant difference. For this year, look, it's hard. There's 9.5 new players, you know, RJ coming back, so there's 9 new players, and then it's RJ and Dylan are really the only ones with experience playing for Clemson in Coach Brunell's system, because Ace Buckner and Dallas Thomas both redshirted a year ago. So they have experience in practice. They understand the everyday Clemson grit, but they haven't been in games. And, you know, understanding how we do things is really important, and Dylan's done a great job. I think for his game, just quickly, Dylan's got to understand, I think sometimes, you know, keep the main thing the main thing. Dylan runs the team. He has one of the best assist-turnover ratios in the country. He makes game-winning dagger shots, the corner three against Duke. He made a big-time shot last year at Miami of Florida early in the season when Miami was still a really hard out. That's who he is, and he has to not get out of that comfort zone. Be who you are. You know, don't look at somebody else's game or their strength and say, that looks sexier to me, and that's what I want. No, keep your main thing, keep your superpower. And I think as long as he does that, he's going to have a great season and be a really special leader for us here in Tigertown.
I totally agree with that. So with that in mind, I've said that a lot of what, like, sort of the ceiling for you guys might be just figuring out the right mix of bodies in that forward and like the 3-4-5 group, and really the 4-5 group, and how to play with them. Does that make it a little tricky to guard a certain way when you've got more of that 6'9", 6'10 body type that you're going to have to get out on the floor? And then sort of how do you use that to your advantage on the offensive end to take advantage of the size mismatches there?
Yeah, Coach Bender and Coach Brunell and Jeff Reynolds, Coach Reynolds, they'll do a really good job of figuring out, you know, how we exploit people offensively. I think that's been proven, and certainly defensively – the issues you have with, you know, our bigs, you know, we have historically switched four with the ball screen. Mm-hmm. So it just eliminates one pick and roll altogether. You're not worried about a coverage. You just got to teach guys to how to handle the slip. When that's one of the things teams do when you switch is they slip you to try to create some confusion. But if we don't feel like we can switch four, now you're playing two coverages with both your four and your five. That's something that we're certainly trying to get through here the preseason, what we think is best based on our personnel. And certainly what you saw the other night, Ben and Kwok, is Jake Wallin can play the three and the four. So if there's a team and it's like, you know what, we're going to be better with Jake at the four defensively because he can switch those four ways. You know, we do have, with the amount of depth, we have great versatility. You know, and, you know, the issue will be game to game. Who's playing well will be the guys that are playing in that game. You know, probably in years past, just for example, if P.J. Hall or Chase Hunter or Hunter Tyson were having a bad game, you weren't going to take them out because you expect P.J. Hall, Hunter Tyson, Chase Hunter to play to the back of their baseball card at some point in the game. With this team, it's not going to be that way, I don't think, except with maybe a couple of exceptions. The guys that are playing well in that game, I think will continue to play in that game and maybe finish the game. And that's, those are conversations coach is going to have and has had with our team is, hey, the strength of our team is in the 9 or 10 guys, is in our depth. And that came true. Presbyterian was exhausted. They were exhausted by the end of the game because of the amount of guys that were playing, were pressing, were denying too. So I do think that that'll be the challenge for our staff is in the game, who should be playing, who's playing well.
Great stuff. We're out of time. We got to do this more often. This is great. I got so many more questions, and you're so good on air, man. And I'll just flatter you by saying that. Coach Donlin, thanks for the time. Best of luck as you guys continue to prepare. And we'll do this again very soon if you're willing.
Oh, always. I appreciate the kind words. But here's what I'll tell you, too. Have you gotten the Wendy's cinnamon rolls yet? Cinnamon rolls.
Yes.
Because last year, you know, the fans don't want to hear about basketball. They want to know, where can you get great dessert? And I just want to know, have you done that yet?
One time. I got it once, and it was dangerous. I had to not do it every day after that. It was glorious.
We're going to be at Wendy's over there in your neck of the woods tomorrow in Clemson. So you come by, and we'll get you a cinnamon roll.
How about, yeah?
Just, you know. We can find out what Billy Donlin's superpower is. We know what Dylan Hunter's is. I need to know what Billy Donlin's is.
My superpower is my amazing, beautiful wife at home who's 7 months pregnant with our third child. So that's my superpower. Somehow she really likes to take on charity cases. That's my superpower.
Great stuff. Hey, man, you are welcome to come on by and have a cinnamon roll on us tomorrow. We appreciate it, Coach Donlin. Take care.
See ya.
All right.